I have been very blessed this morning already. Marcus mentioned on John D. Martin's messages there about singing, and I have been very blessed with our song service this morning. It has spoken to my heart, and it has encouraged me, and it has strengthened me. So I thank you for that. My message this morning, or my meditations, speak right into my heart. Something that I've been dealing with or experiencing, that I have experienced in the past. I thank the Lord that it's not as deep in my life anymore as it used to be, but it's still something that I deal with from time to time. I think all of us do from time to time. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'll put my title on the board while you turn there. I have come out of the cave. And now you probably know where I'm going with that. 1 Kings 19 is the account of Elijah there. Why don't we, before we continue, let's have a word of prayer again. Our heads. Lord God, we do just bow our hearts before you here this morning, before we begin the reading of your word and the studying of your this passage, Lord. I do pray that you would give me clarity of thoughts, and that you would give me a calmness of heart, Lord, that I can share the things that you have laid on my heart. Lord, do help me to forget the things that you don't want spoken. Do help me, Father, to remember the things that you once spoken. Lord, I do pray that your name could be lifted up, that your name could be glorified here this morning. I think your name has already been lifted up and glorified, and we thank you for that. Thank you for your presence here with us, Father. Father, do just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to guide this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there is a lot said many times about Elijah. I think just a week ago, or 2 weeks maybe, it was where one of the brothers touched on Elijah's life and his faith there and his perseverance, and that was very good, very powerful. And Elijah was a man of faith. He was a man of power, and he did many miracles. We know that. But I can identify with Elijah's experience here in 1 Kings 19. Being in the cave, in despair, in discouragement, depressed, wishing to die. I can identify with that. I don't know about you all, but I can. And I have recently been challenged by it, by this passage. Why don't we read? I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. You know, Elijah had just gotten done calling fire down from heaven. He had just gotten done praying, and God sent a thunderstorm. You know, this, I think, happened the same evening. I think Elijah, you know, the fire fell maybe late afternoon. Elijah prayed. The storm came. It was raining. He ran ahead of the horses there. I think this happened possibly that same evening, that same night. I think it was still pouring down rain when he took off. Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." All right, I'm going to stop reading there. You know, Elijah went from a boldly proclaiming before the king, "It's not going to rain." Elijah was there, I think, without fear, boldly proclaiming that. He hid, you know, that whole story. Miracles happened there. And then he again shows himself to Ahab. I think he boldly stood there. And Ahab had said, "Are you the man that troubles Israel?" Elijah said, "No, you are." You know, boldly. Yet, in the face of this death threat, he took off. He took off. You know, why? What happened? What went wrong? Why was he all of a sudden, in the face of that death threat from Jezebel, where was the boldness? Where was the faith? Where was the confidence? You know, I've been there too. I've done those things. I have felt close to the Lord. I have had times of, you know, rejoicing in the Lord. And the next day something happens and down I go. Down I go into discouragement. You know, that's happened for me. I can identify with Elijah here. You know, why can't we remember these good times, these miracles, the times of closeness with the Lord, and remain faithful? All right. I think one thing that happened here with Elijah, he was exhausted. He was physically exhausted. He was wore out. Okay? And if we are physically wore out, we're exhausted, that can affect. That can affect our courage. And our maybe shouldn't, but I think it can. I think he was physically exhausted. He had seen all this. That time on Mount Carmel was intense. You know, he had 450 prophets of Baal there, and he was alone. He was alone. He didn't know that there were still 7,000 people that had never bowed the knee. Elijah didn't know that at that time. He thought he was alone. You know, that conflict, that was intense. Then he prayed for the rain. I think he had to intensely pray. It, you know, he sent his servant 7 times before he finally saw that small cloud rising out of the sea. That was intense. I'm guessing Elijah had feelings of, you know, is this really going to work? You know, after 5 times, 6 times, Lord, you know, he was intent. He was physically wore out. And he went home and he relaxed. I think he relaxed. And this temptation came. This death threat came. I had to wonder, how about his servant? You know, we see there that his servant took off with him. His servant ran with him. But I think his servant probably saw what happened on Mount Carmel. I think the servant probably ran ahead of the horses as well with him. It doesn't say that, but I imagine he probably did. The servant saw that hand rising, or that cloud rising out of the sea. Did Elijah's lack of faith and lack of trust and confidence in the Lord at that moment, did that take his servant down as well? Did his servant lose faith as well? I don't know. We don't have a clear scripture telling us that. But we see that the servant ran with him unto Beersheba. There he left his servant. And the one thing that I see in there is how that our, especially as fathers in the home, as a men, how that our life, our attitude, our outlook in life, how that affects the people that are subject to us. Number one is our wives and children. My attitude, my faith in the Lord will directly affect, or it can directly affect, my wife's faith in the Lord. My children's faith in the Lord. Because they are following our example. I had to think of, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, we see how Timothy his mother's faith and his grandmother's faith affected Timothy. That was now present in Timothy as well. So we see that effect taking place there. Brother Marcus read this morning, I believe, there in Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17. And I was going to read that as well. I just will. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So I mentioned that our faith, or lack thereof, affects our wife and our children. Well, I believe by this passage we see that it also affects those around us. You know, if we share our faith and we speak often one with another and we share our faith and our confidence in the Lord with each other, and I share that with Brother Sherwin and Albert and Joe, and that can encourage them, then in my time of trial, they can be there sharing that same faith with me. And I just like that picture of then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. It's that communicating, sharing together, being of one heart, encouraging each other. I think we see that here. And that will help us to have faith and to be faithful in that time of trial, in that time of the death threat like Elijah faced there. We see that same effect with King Ahab here. 1 Kings 16 verse 33 says, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than did all the kings of Israel that were before him." So the kings before him had an effect on him. His father had an effect on him. And he was worse than them all. Because I think he was simply following the example that he had of what he saw. In this case, the lack of faith, the lack of trust in God. Elijah leaves his servant there in Beersheba and keeps on going. He keeps going by himself. He finds himself there in verse 4. He finds himself in the wilderness under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. He requested for himself that he might die. Lord, I just want to die. You know, hopelessness, loneliness. There he was, in the wilderness, all by himself. I'm just going to mention this verse right now. I have it somewhere further down in my notes, and I'll come across it again. But I think of it, and I just, you know, growing up in my teen years, that's where I was. I spent my teen years in the cave, under the juniper tree, alone, lonely, depressed, and discouraged. There's a lie that I believed. And the verse here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, totally puts that one out, okay? "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You know, if Elijah here, under this juniper tree, if he would have known or had the confidence that there's still some people back here in Israel that have not bowed to Baal, that have not done it, That would have given him courage. I faced many youthful struggles and temptations, but I sincerely believed I was the only one. I'm just all alone in this thing, and that's where I found myself, in that cave of despair. Brothers, that is just not true. We are not alone in our temptations, in our struggles, in our hardships. We're not alone. But Elijah didn't. He felt alone. That's where he found himself. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. How many times does the Lord, in our time of darkness, reach out and minister to some need? Minister to some need. We don't recognize it, maybe. We don't see it. But maybe after we're through that time of trial, through that discouragement, whatever it is, we can look back. Oh, thank you, Lord. Right there. I was discouraged and in the cave or under that juniper tree. But the Lord ministered to our needs, to Elijah's need there. He sent his angel there to minister to Elijah. I'm going to read a few verses out of Psalms. Psalms chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91, verses 10 through 12. And this is, I think, what Elijah experienced there. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thee. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The angels, God sent the angel there to bring that physical food to Elijah as a way of bearing him up, as a way of ministering to that need, as a way of lifting him up. The Lord gave his angels that charge to go and do that for Elijah. I had to think of the verse in Psalms 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, Elijah maybe wasn't fearing the Lord, yet he was still the Lord's prophet. And the angel of the Lord was still there, even though he was in that deep and dark time of his life. The angel of the Lord was still there. Had to think of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Talking about the angels. Ministering spirits. Have you ever experienced that? When you were sitting under the juniper tree wishing to die, and God comes and ministers to your need. I have. The Lord has done that for me. And I trust probably for all of you, for all of us, the Lord, even though we go through those dark times and those valleys, the Lord is there. The Lord is ministering to us. You know, he's there with endeavoring to encourage us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I think Elijah experienced this verse there and probably didn't realize it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God was there supplying for his need. Physical need. He gave him rest. Physical rest. The Lord provided physical food for him. It says there in that the angel of the Lord woke him up the second time. In verse 8 it says that he went on the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. I kind of doubt that Elijah expected that meal to be his last meal. But the Lord strengthened him there. He was there. The strength of that meal carried him through for 40 days and 40 nights. I think God saw him there, and God was looking down and going, Elijah, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. I still have a work for you. I'm not done with you. It's the same for us. If we get discouraged or we go through that dark time, the Lord is up there. If we still have breath, the Lord is saying, I'm not done with you. I still have something for you to do. Take courage. Take courage. I think that was the heart of God there when he saw Elijah under that juniper tree. Elijah gets up, he eats that food, and he keeps on going. He keeps going into the wilderness toward that mount. It calls it Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. And at that mount, he finds a cave. He goes in there. What a good hiding place. He feels safe. Jezebel can't find me here. But that's where he finds himself. In that cave, back in there, God asked him, what doest thou here, Elijah? That was the first time. Let me see. Yeah, the Lord did not speak to him there at the juniper tree. I don't believe, no. This was the first time that the Lord asked him, what doest thou here? He was in that cave. Elijah, what are you doing here? Let's listen to his answer. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. It was an answer of I think it was truth, yet there at the ending, I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He was not the only one left, and he didn't realize it. He did not know it. But I think at that time, Elijah's heart was still turned inward pretty strongly. His attitude there, I think, was an attitude of self-pity. Because the Lord didn't continue to speak right then. The Lord did not come to him right then with that still small voice. The Lord first sent verse 11, the Lord told him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. He passed by in the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. The Lord told him to go forth and stand upon the mount. He didn't do it. He stayed there. He stayed inside that cave, I believe. Till the Lord passed through in the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. Then verse 13 it says, verse 12, and after the fire a still small voice, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. So I think when he heard that still small voice, all of a sudden his heart was melting. His heart was melting. Something, the wind, the earthquake, the fire had done something in his heart. And then he heard the still small voice. I think that wrapping of his mantle around his face, I get two pictures there. One is a picture of reverence, just humbling himself before the Lord. The other, I think there could have been some shame. A little bit of, what am I doing here? A little bit of maybe embarrassment. Because the Lord started getting a hold of him. Started getting a hold of his heart. And when he heard that still small voice, it says he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. He stood in the mouth of the cave. Okay, he's coming out. Okay, now Lord, okay, what is it? Then the Lord asked him again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah's answer, the words are exactly the same. But I think his attitude was different. He was now, okay, Lord, this is how I find myself. This is where I find myself. I'm out here by this cave. I feel all alone. I feel all alone. You know, the Lord wants us. He wants us to openly and just tell him how we're feeling. The Lord wants us to share with him, to tell him when we feel all alone. The Lord wants us to tell him how it's going. Okay, that's what Elijah was doing here. But I think after the wind, the earthquake, the fire, after the still small voice, his heart was broken within him. And he was now at a place where he could listen to the voice of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him there. The Lord gave him instructions. He mentioned there again in verse 14, I only am left. And I just want to again encourage us all, and especially the young people this morning, because I was there with this verse here in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. I read it a little bit ago. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Elijah thought himself to be alone in this temptation. But there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Never give in to the temptation, to the lie that I'm just all alone in this. Never give in to it. It is not true. It is that lie is from the devil. That lie held me in bondage for many years. And it doesn't need to hold you in bondage. I fully believe that the Lord has people prepared to walk with us before we ever have that need. The Lord had 7,000 people prepared to walk with Elijah. If he would have asked the Lord, Lord, what shall I do? Okay, Jezebel is threatening me here. Where shall I go? What shall I do? The Lord would have shown him a way. The same is true for us. When we face that death threat, that hour of temptation and deep darkness, we all face those times. The Lord, I believe, has someone prepared before we get there to walk with us. It might be a brother in the church. It might be a minister in the church. It might be our father. It might be our mother. The Lord has someone prepared that knows and understands and can walk with us. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. One thing that challenged me here in this is, what is the cave that I have crawled into? What is the cave that I have crawled into? Could Elijah hear the still small voice of God and the instruction of God while he was in the cave? He heard the still small voice, but he did not hear the instruction of God. You know, I remember just thinking back in my dark times, my discouragements, I remember having a prompting, hearing a still small voice. Go talk with this brother. Share with your dad. Push it away. Nope, not going to. He doesn't care anyway. He doesn't understand anyway. I believe that was the still small voice of God speaking to me, but I pushed it away. I pushed it away. Elijah here, he heard the still small voice of God, and he humbled himself. He wrapped his mantle about him, his face in reverence, and he came out. Lord, what is it? What is it? When we hear that still small voice nudging us to, hey, go share your situation with Brother John or with whoever, with my father. Go share. He understands. Don't push it aside. Don't push it aside. Go do it. That's the place where the Lord can then start speaking and actually ministering life and through your father, through a brother, into our heart, and discouragement can leave. The Lord has a work for each one of us in here to do if we can get ourselves out of that cave. Elijah could have stayed there, and I don't think the Lord would have ever, he would have never really accomplished what the Lord wanted him to. How do we recognize the voice of God? How do we respond to the voice of God? Is it in self-pity or is it in reverence to the one speaking? First, I want to read a few passages here in John. Here in John chapter 10. Where it talks about the shepherd and the sheep hearing his voice. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The same chapter, verses 25 to 30. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I had said. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. We, as God's children, we can hear the voice of the Lord. We can hear the voice of the Lord. John chapter 18, verse 37, at the ending there, of that verse, it says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So if we hear the voice of God, we hear that still small voice, that instruction of the Lord, that means we know him. We are of the truth. Elijah there, he was still God's prophet. Even though he was discouraged and he was down and he was depressed, he wanted to die. He was still the prophet of God. And the Lord still had a work for him. It's the same for us. We're maybe not a prophet like Elijah was, but the Lord still has a work for us. He still speaks to us. We can still hear his voice. But like I mentioned before, to really hear and understand what the Lord is saying, we have to come out of that cave. We have to come before the Lord in reverence, in honor, in respect. We have to lay down our whatever it is that's holding us in bondage or in that cave, whatever is keeping us in there has to go and be replaced with the Lord. The circumstances don't have to change. Elijah's circumstances didn't change. Jezebel still wanted to kill him. So that circumstance did not change. But he was coming into a place of surrender and again, trusting and having faith in the Lord. One thing that stood out to me there in John chapter 10, it says, my sheep know my voice. It's not my sheep should know my voice or my sheep might know my voice. They will. They will know the voice. It's a statement. That's how it is. My sheep know my voice. I had to think of what does the voice of God do in our hearts? What does the voice of God do for us? Number one that I have here, the voice of God or the word of God stimulates love for Christ and each other. So if we're hearing the voice of God and it doesn't stir love for Christ and each other, then it's probably not the voice of God. Because the voice of God, the word of God, will stimulate love for Christ and each other. John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So there we just see that the words of God and loving the Lord, they're tied together. You're not going to separate that. The word of the Lord, his commands, his law will stimulate love within our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Right there we have the word again. The voice of God. In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, the word purifying our heart stimulates love for the brethren. That's an indicator whether the voice that we're hearing or the word of the Lord that we're hearing, whether it's, you know, if it's stimulating love for the brethren and for Christ, that's an indicator that it is the voice of the Lord. Number two, the voice or word of God brings joy in our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16 says, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I think Elijah, even though he was still out there by that cave, when he heard that still small voice and he wrapped his face in his mantle and he stood at the opening of that cave, I think he felt a joy. There was something deep from within him that was starting to rise up. He was feeling joy. Because he was now listening to the voice of the Lord. It was putting joy. It was filling him with joy. The voice of God will do that. The words of the Lord from his Bible, from the Bible will bring joy to our hearts. The voice or word of God gives peace and rest to the struggling. Psalms chapter 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, Elijah's mind was not stayed on the Lord. Elijah's mind turned to himself. And he was thinking about this death threat, and I've got to run. And he got all, you know. But if our mind is stayed on the Lord, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So, if we keep our heart and mind on the Lord and on his word, there will be perfect peace. Number four, the voice or word of God brings reverence and godly fear. I've got a number of verses on this one. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? What does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? Reverence him, honor him, exalt his name. Psalms chapter 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. I like that. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So I get the picture there. If we fear the Lord and we reverence and honor the Lord, it says, him shall he teach. The man that fears the Lord and reverences the Lord shall teach that man in the way that he shall choose. So the Lord does the choosing of the way, and the Lord teaches us how to walk in that way. If we fear the Lord, he does the choosing of the way, and he teaches us how to walk in that way. That's what that verse speaks to me. Psalms chapter 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Just another instruction to fear the Lord and stand in awe of him. Psalms chapter 89, verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Acts 10, verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In that verse we see that fearing and reverencing the Lord is a condition to being accepted by the Lord. Number five, the voice or word of God strikes fear in the heart of the evildoer. So if we are an evildoer, and we don't know the Lord, and we're not walking with him, the voice or the word of God is going to strike fear in our hearts. We see that in the example of Adam and Eve there in the garden. When they took of that fruit, the voice of God came. Adam, where are you? Adam said, oh, you know, we hid ourselves. We were afraid. Their heart was filled with terror, I think. The last person they wanted to meet right then was God. The last voice they wanted to hear was the voice of God. But that's the very voice that came knocking. Adam, where are you? So if the word or the voice of God strikes fear in our heart, we need to We need to check ourselves. Where are we going? What is our walk with the Lord? There's something wrong if it strikes fear. The voice of God calls the unbeliever to repentance. I am just about done here, but we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 3 for a few verses here on the voice of God calling the unbeliever. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. If you hear the voice of God knocking on the door of your heart, open that door. Let him in. He will sup with you. You can sup with him. Come out of that cave. Come out of that cave of selfishness, of pride, of sin. Whatever is binding you, come out of that cave. I believe the still small voice, the voice knocking at the door, that comes to the believer and the unbeliever. Sometimes the Lord knocks on our heart's door and just says, listen, I want a closer walk with you. I want a closer walk with you. Maybe that's what the Lord is calling us to, is a closer walk with you. Maybe for some of us, he is calling us to begin a walk with him. But he will call us. He always wants more time, a closer walk with him. What is? I just asked the question again. What is that cave, if you will, that is hindering us from hearing the voice of the Lord? Whatever it is, let's give that to the Lord. Let's wrap our face in our mantle in reverence and come before the Lord and open our heart to him. I'm going to close with two more verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. There in Joshua, that was spoken to the Israelites. But I think this morning, the Lord speaks that to us. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That is a promise for every one of us. If we are walking with the Lord, he will go with us. May the Lord bless you.